think. There's a lot here that wouldn't know the truth, and until you know the truth, you never can know how to become free. Anyway, he dissolved all parties, Benito Mussolini did, except, of course, his own. He threw anti-fascists into prisons, coal dungeons, and concentration camps. He destroyed trade union movements. In 1930, don't even have to destroy trade union movements in USA. There are none. They've even now signed away their right to strike because of the big bosses of the unions, like the United Mine Workers, are agents of capitalism. That's why fascism hasn't yet had to show its ugly hand, or ugly head, but it will soon, with the cost of living getting out of hand and unemployment. It will soon have to have a military takeover and establish fascism, even in USA. In 1930, he signed a concordat with the Pope, and the Pope gave him his blessings as being a defender of the faith. And thus strengthened at home, threw himself into the conquest of other peoples, prepared to spread his dominion to France, Nice, Savoy, Corsica, Albania, Tripoli, and Syrian Aica, C-Y-R-E-N-A-I-C-A, and Ethiopia, the black nation of Ethiopia. That's the one nation, as you know, that cost him his first military loss. He did never succeed in whipping that black people. They were so proud and so patriotic that they drove out his advanced military force. So he wanted, with the world already in sight, was in his mind, the world. Fascism began to develop in Germany around the same time as in Italy, but as the conditions were different, it was longer in coming to power. The methods used by the big capitalist in Germany were identical to those used by the capitalist and landowners in Italy. The forces they relied on, plus the methods used to take power, were similar. In contrast to Italy, the working class in Germany rose immediately after the end of the war to revolutionary struggle and managed to overthrow Kaiser Wilhelm II, the king. There was an abortive coup, a military coup that failed, planned by the monopolies in 1920. They had relied on the right-wing Social Democrats following the coup, but since they didn't trust them fully, they kept as a reserve the different fascist groups already in existence, especially the German Workers' Party, Hitler's party. As we said, this party had been founded in 1919 in Munich by Hitler, and later came to be controlled by a former corporal in the intelligence service, Adolf Hitler, changing its name to the National Socialist German Workers' Party so he could trick socialists into joining, because there was a strong socialist movement in Germany. But he knew there was pride in nationalism, which has always been desperately strong in the German psyche, the German mind. Hitler began setting up special armed squadrons, the SA and the SSS, the SS rather, shock troops, which with the help of the Bavarian government and the industrialists and landowners of the region became the monopoly shock troops. During the crisis of 1923, the capitalists prepared a military coup d'etat, a military takeover in Bavaria. However, the situation improved with the help they received from other imperialists, and they dropped the idea, but neglected to advise Hitler of this. So he launched the push, the takeover, without receiving the expected help from the rulers and their troops. Always capitalists betray capitalists. Hitler was arrested and was in prison for a while. U.S. imperialism as a matter of record, in 1923, was supposed to fund the Hitler takeover. But they wanted him to do the work, but they didn't want to give up any of their money for it to be possible. So that's why Hitler was left in the lurch. And that's why he finally turned against USA and decided to be a capitalist for his own interest. Although the German economy improved between 1925 and 29, the monopolies continued to keep the fascists in reserve. When the situation worsened, they decided to use them again. Hitler and his team used every kind of demagogy, dictatorial power, to attract the ruined petty bourgeoisie, the small merchants, you know, the small middle class, and a portion of the peasantry, the working class, the lowest of the working class, work the fields, the proletariat, the workers in the factories, the peasantry, the workers in the field. They managed to create a mass base of support with the financial help of the industrialist. Hitler and his party grew rapidly, as did his shock troops. But the communist movement was also growing at the same time. And unfortunately, in the United States, we don't have anything growing to combat fascism. There is no growing socialist party. There is no communist party at all. But the communist movement was also growing while Hitler was coming to power rapidly, as shown by the 6 million votes they received in the 1932 election. 6 million voted communist. The German capitalists who backed Hitler demanded that the other parties band together behind him, and they managed to have President von Hindenburg name him prime minister under some kind of threat. When Hitler took power, he dissolved the parliament, the Congress, the House of Representatives, or the Senate, as we would know it in the USA. He dissolved the parliament altogether with the idea of legalizing his own fascist regime. But at the same time, he greatly feared the power of the Communist Party, led by Ernst, E-R-N-S-T, Thälmann, T-H-A-E-L-M-A-N-N, and so undertook a series of provocative measures, culminating in the burning of the Reichstag, that's their parliament building, like our Hall of Congress in USA, on February 27, 1933, for which the communists were blamed because they got a mental patient out of a mental hospital, put a communist card on him, and set him in the halls, not knowing what time of day it was. He said yes to their questions, and so they could say, yes, here is a communist that burned down the Congress. Believe me, fascism is more tricky today. The CIA is more tricky today than Hitler's day, and it was bad enough in Hitler's day. On the basis of that provocation, over 10,000 party members of the communist movement were immediately arrested and a state of siege declared. That's martial law. It almost happened with the miners striking, as you saw. That's why I want all of you to study Harlan County. But he went through with it. He did establish martial law. Carter threatened to do so, and almost did just a few weeks ago. Despite all this, the Communist Party received all over 5 million votes in the following election. So Hitler outlawed the Communist Party altogether, established his power as total, and began an orgy of bloody crimes throughout Germany, the details of which are well known, and well enough known throughout the world that I don't need to go into them here. God knows, you surely must know, the millions that were tortured, that were their skin was used for lampshades, and that they were even had skin stripped off of them before they were dead. They would take their hair and their teeth out of them before they had died in the big gas chambers that they put them in. I don't need to remind you of how terrible fascism can be. Fascism didn't limit itself to Italy, and don't say it won't happen in USA, because they're already doing it. They're experimenting on our babies in every institution, and it's protected by Congress. They're experimenting on all our black and Indian prisoners in the jails. And they experiment even with their own government, as they did cause one government official to jump out a seven-floor window. That's how evil the CIA is. Fascism did not limit itself to Italy and Germany in the period between the two world wars. As a social phenomenon peculiar to the capitalist system, it developed in step with the needs and possibilities of the system, wherever conditions favored its growth, and even where it didn't manage to implant itself systematically. Fascist groups, movements, and parties, often backed by the churches, who are the strongest bastion of fascism, as they were in Spain and Italy and Germany, were established, kept as a reserve by the monopoly capitalist. Before going on to explain the rise of fascism, or Christian phalangism, in Spain, let us mention the main countries which suffered its barbarous, brutal assault. We'll begin with Portugal. In this poor country, which suffered a severe economic crisis, a military dictatorship took power in 1920, headed by General Fragoso Carmona, Carmona, which in time became a fascist regime. In 1932, Oliveira Salazar, one of the world's worst dictators, took power and imposed the corporate state fascism, held sway in Portugal until the revolution in 1975, when surprisingly enough, the army, which was socialist, which few armies are, overthrew the dictatorship Salazar and started a socialist democracy. IMF is trying to give that socialist democracy a lot of trouble today, but they still have not bowed. A coup d'etat, a takeover, brought Antanas, A-N-T-A-N-A-S, Smetona, S-M-E-T-O-N-A, and a fascist dictatorship to power in Lithuania. In 1926, in Latvia, Karlis Ulmanis took power, and in Estonia, the fascist dictator Pats, P-A-T-S, took power. In Greece, and by the way, when all those Latvians were coming at the end of World War II, Lithuanians and Estonians, they were all Nazis. They'd all been involved in concentration camp murders, but you saw how fast they came in. God, there was a great wave. The old-timers can tell you. Literally a couple of 3 million came in. So you see, they've got the fascist pocket that they need in USA when they get ready, along with the anti-Castro Cubans. In Greece, General Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, dissolved his Congress, Parliament, and established a dictatorial regime, which from 1936 on was openly fascist. Fascist-type dictatorships were established in Bulgaria, Poland, Hungary, and other countries surrounding the Soviet Union. Pilsudski, P-I-L-S-U-D-S-K-I, in Poland, and Nikolai Horthy in Hungary were conspicuous among the dictators of this period. The Japanese militarists called themselves fascists, allied themselves with Italy and Germany, even though no Japanese could live in Germany. There was that much race prejudice, and began to take measures of a fascist nature. In Latin America, military dictatorships, similar to fascist ones, took power, including Cuba, during certain periods, as in 1934 through 37 and 1953 to 59. All these dictatorships, urged on and financed by imperialism, were concerned with preparing the conditions to turn on the Soviet Union at the moment and destroy the first socialist state in history. and other capitalist states which still had parliamentary or congressional systems, fascist clubs, groups, and parties were set up with the participation of members of the military and right-wing Democrats, renegades, and traitors, and the church, such as Oswald Mosley, who is still leading the National Front in England and gaining ground each day. He was a fascist who openly wears a picture of Hitler on his suits and the swastika. He's in England. And Colonel Francois de la Roque and the traitor Doriot in France. In the United States in 1938, there were more than 800 fascist or pro-fascist organizations financed by big business. Stand by for a moment. Be given together so you can understand the movement of fascism, why we need socialism, Marxist-Leninism. Similar groups and parties were springing up everywhere. In Sweden, Holland, Denmark, Norway, and Czechoslovakia. Because at that time, capitalism was the highest stage. Socialism had had no time to develop, and so they had the money and the power, and they could set up fascist dictatorships everywhere. Along with others closely linked to the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the Nazis also took advantage of the existence of German-born persons in Africa and Latin America to organize fascist groups for espionage and sabotage. Up until just recently, those very same Nazis have been protected, but Brazil has been going after fascists in her country pretty heavily. In Austria, the fascist assassinated Chancellor Engelbert Dollfuss, Dollfuss, in 1934. In Brazil, the Integralista, Integralistas, there's a name up the way that I didn't give you proper spelling, Colonel Franco, Colonel Frank, Francoisdela, Rock, Rocque. Now we'll go back here to the standby for a moment.
What was the last word
I used? As I was saying, in Austria, the fascists assassinated Chancellor Engelbert Dollfuss in 1934. In Brazil, the Integralistas, led by Plínio Salgado, S-A-L-G-A-D-O, were on the verge of taking power. In Bolivia, there was an attempt at a military takeover that we call coup d'etat. That's spelled C-O-U-P, little d, apostrophe, E-T-A-T. In 1941, there was almost a military takeover, a coup d'etat in Bolivia. To have the country join the fascist bloc, and in Argentina, the fascists came to have as many as 200,000 shock troops. Nazi agents were active in all those countries. By the way, the real Nazi leader there was, I've forgotten, Eva Perón. And now there's a great book glorifying her in USA, and she had tens of thousands of people tortured, so that shows you what's important to USA. Not goodness, but to glorify murderers. They say her book will bring the publications company $10 million. Anyway, there were 200,000 shock troops in Argentina. Nazi agents were active in all those countries. And all these maneuvers were being carried out in preparation for another world war out of which the German and Italian fascists hoped to create their powerful empires, and then they would have jointly agreed to eliminate the Japanese because they were as racist as hell against Asians, blacks, and Indians. The communists were the first to warn the world about the threat fascism represented. They called on the people to close ranks against the new form of dictatorship or demagogy and crime adopted by the most reactionary circles of capitalism, and succeeded in setting up popular fronts against fascism and war in many countries. The Soviet Union, the Communist International, and its parties were the standard bearers in the struggle against the fascist reign of terror, slavery, and death. In Spain, the military dictatorship of General Pinto de Rivera, he was in charge at that time, had been set up with the complicity of the monarchy, the army, and the most reactionary elements of all. What would that be? The church. But in 1931, the people made an anti-monarchy revolution and set up the republic. That's what you saw in For Whom the Bells Toll. Socialists and workers came from every nation of the earth. USA socialists, never to come back. They had that kind of international fraternity, brotherhood, sisterhood, and we must never let that die. They fought side by side for those people who won a free election of a democracy. This was followed immediately by the emergence of several fascist organizations, chiefly the Spanish Christian Falange, F-A-L-A-N-G-E, organized by José Antonio Primo de Rivera, the son of the former dictator, and the Councils of National Trade Union Offensive, IONS, which in 1934 merged under the name of Spanish Falange of the IONS Falangist. That's a word for Christian fascist. There was also another organization, the so-called Spanish Revolutionary Renovation Party, rather, led by Goy Cochea, G-O-I-C-O-E-C-H-E-A, and Calvo Sotelo, and composed of large landowners, financiers, generals, and leaders of the church. These reactionary forces merged in 1932 under the name of Spanish Confederation of Autonomous Rights. I mean, each are sovereign. Autonomy means you can govern your own affairs, but it wasn't so. They lied to the people again. And they called it CEDA, C-E-D-A. And they attained a majority in the 1933 election. However, the left-wing forces, which had made the mistake of coming to the 1933 election, divided, organized the popular anti-fascist front in 1935, bringing about a change in the country's political scene. The front won the election in 1936. Again, another victory for the people. However, the government, composed of representatives of the ruling class, the wealth, the Republican Party, who did not act consistently according to revolutionary principles. That's always what happens to people who once start to be revolutionaries. Then they have to need certain foods, candies, clothes. They always will sell out, and that's what they were enjoying. The fat life, they thought, even though always capitalists are cut down by some younger capitalist coming on who wants their power. Anyway, the government, composed of representatives of the Republican Party who did not act consistently according to revolutionary principles, failed to modify the bourgeoisie large landowners' relations in Spain. Moreover, it allowed the army to remain under the command of fascist and pro-monarchy generals who let themselves be led through the orders issued by General José Sanjuro, S-A-N-J-U-R-J-O, by the German and Italian fascists. On July 18, 1936, the army, supported by armed fascist detachments that were coming in from Italy and Germany and even U.S. industrialists, rebelled against Spain's Spain's legitimate government. When General Sanjuro was killed in an airplane accident, General Francisco Franco took over as head of the fascist movement, and he worshipped Hitler, was side by side with him in every movie that was ever made. They were in close connection, and Hitler sent him all the equipment that he needed that Hitler had got from the USA so that the people's will could be defeated in Spain. In spite of the support, however, given the fascist movement by the army, with the exception of a few isolated units that remained loyal to the Republic and the civil guards, the people succeeded in holding at bay for quite some time those who called themselves rebels. The working masses, the peasants, and the intellectuals rose up against the barbarian, brutal onslaught and succeeded in repelling the attacks of the fascist forces, who even used Moroccan troops brought into Spain through France. Volunteers from all over the world went to Spain to cooperate with the Spanish people, in this great struggle for freedom. Hundreds of fighters came from Cuba, and some of them, like Pablo de la Torriente, T-O-R-R-I-E-N-T-E, Brau, B-R-A-U, laid down their lives defending the sister nation. The number of volunteers reached 85,000, while U.S. was sending in military might, millions of dollars. The workers of USA at that time, when there was a working class consciousness because there was a Great Depression, they were sending their bodies to fight for the freedom of the Spaniards. Hitler and Mussolini came to Franco's aid, and the so-called democratic powers proclaimed a policy of non-intervention and neutrality. Naturally, the democratic nations, the social democrats, the U.S. democracy, capitalist democracy in England, would give no help, refusing to provide the Republic with the weapons it had already paid for. They bought some. The socialist government had bought some from the industrialists of USA, and then they kept their money and did not give them the weapons to fight the Nazis. How guilty we should feel for the years we paid our taxes. With the weapons it already paid for, as I said, and giving the Nazis and the Italian fascists a free rein to raise cities, burn them down, like the Italian fascists, a free rein to raise cities, like Guernica, G-U-E-R-N-I-C-A, and Almeria, A-L-A-L-M-E-R-I-A, and to send their legions of warplanes, tanks, and guns, U.S. made, to crush the heroic Spanish people. Fascist warships sank dozens upon dozens of ships that flying various flags, but mainly the Soviet communist flag, were on their way to take supplies to the Spanish fighters and people in general. For 3 years, the people of Spain fought bravely, heroically, as we saw in For Whom the Bells Toll, and courageously against international fascism and its puppet Francisco Franco. Finally, military intervention on the part of Italy and Germany, the policy of non-intervention, and the traitorous actions, selling out, that England and USA did, and other capitalist nations. The chiefs of the National Defense Council led to the capture of Madrid and the fall of the Republic. They were able to work through the National Defense Council, the U.S. was, and that caused the final fall of Madrid. But they fought 3 years with hardly no weapons, nothing but bodies that willed to be free. The war cost the people of Spain over 1 million lives, and close to 1 million persons had to flee the country in order to save their lives from the fascist government as always you have to do, as those in USA will be wanting to come here when the concentration camps are set up, when they see the handwriting on the wall. They want to run away. 1,000, 1,000,000 left Spain. Hundreds of thousands were thrown into prisons. Thousands of others were murdered by the hordes of the Falange, the Christian Fascist Party, and workers, peasants, trade union, and political leaders, and noted intellectuals, writers, poets, scientists, and artists died on the battlefield. Some like Antonio Machado, M-A-C-H-A-D-O, died in concentration camps while being in exile, where they kept him in exile. He finally refused to eat as a attempt to show his hate for what was happening. Even after fascism was defeated in World War II, the people of Spain were subjected to the fascist terror while Franco remained alive, his regime propped up by the imperialist. It would be convenient now to analyze the reasons why, even though fascism is a creature of the capitalist system, I'm better than two-thirds done, the principal imperialist forces that sponsored it were forced to fight Hitler and Mussolini in World War II and thus contribute to its defeat. First of all, we must realize that there are internal contradictions in the capitalist system. They will give us our first insight into the situation. Stand by for just a moment.